AA 241 87. I would argue that masturbation is the human animal's most important adaptation, the very cornerstone of our technological civilization. Our hands evolved to grip tools, all right, including our own. You see, thinkers, inventors, and scientists are usually geeks, and geeks have a harder time getting laid than anyone. Without the built-in sexual release valve provided by masturbation, it's doubtful that early humans would have ever mastered the secrets of fire or discovered the wheel. And you can bet that Galileo, Newton, and Einstein never would have made their discoveries if they hadn't first been able to clear their heads by slapping the salami, or knocking a few protons off the old hydrogen atom. The same goes for Marie Curie. Before she discovered radium, you can be certain she first discovered the little man in the canoe. It wasn't one of Halliday's more popular theories, but I liked it. As I shuffled over to the toilet, a large flat-screen monitor mounted on the wall switched on, and the smiling face of Max, my system agent software, appeared on the screen. I'd programmed Max to start up a few minutes after I turned on the lights so I could wake up a little bit before he started jabbering to me. "Good morning, Wade," Max stuttered cheerily. "Rise and shine!" Running system agent software was a little like having a virtual personal assistant, one that also functioned as a voice-activated interface with your computer. System agent software was highly configurable, with hundreds of pre-programmed personalities to choose from. I'd programmed mine to look, sound, and behave like Max Headroom, the ostensibly computer-generated star of a late 80s talk show, a groundbreaking cyberpunk TV series, and a slew of Coke commercials. "Good morning, Max," I replied, groggily.
"I think you mean good evening, Rumpelstiltskin. It's 7:18 p.m., Oasis, just a standard time, Wednesday, December 30th.
Max was programmed to speak with a slight electronic stutter. In the mid-80s, when the character of Max Headroom was created, computers weren't actually powerful enough to generate a photorealistic human figure, so Max had been portrayed by an actor, the brilliant Matt Frewer, who wore a lot of rubber makeup to make him look computer-generated. But the version of Max now smiling at me on the monitor was pure software, with the best simulated AI and voice recognition subroutines money could buy. I'd been running a highly customized version of Max Headroom version 3.4.1 for a few weeks now. Before that, my system agent software had been modeled after the actress Erin Gray of Buck Rogers and Silver Spoons fame, but she'd proved to be way too distracting, so I'd switched to Max. He was annoying at times, but he also cracked me up. He did a pretty decent job of keeping me from feeling lonesome, too. As I stumbled into the bathroom module and emptied my bladder, Max continued to address me from a small monitor mounted above the mirror.
"Uh-oh, it appears you sprung a leak," he said.
"Get a new joke," I said. "Any news I should know about?"
"Just the usual. Wars, rioting, famine, nothing that would interest you."
"Any messages?" He rolled his eyes.
"A few, but to answer your real question, no. Artemis still hasn't called or written you back, lover boy."
"I've warned you. Don't call me that, Max. You're begging to be deleted."
"Touchy, touchy. Honestly, Wade, when did you get so sensitive?
"I'll erase you, Max. I mean it. Keep it up, and I'll switch back to Wilma Deering. Or I'll try out the disembodied voice of Majel Barrett." Max made a pouty face and spun around to face the shifting digital wallpaper behind him, currently a pattern of multicolored vector lines. Max was always like this. Giving me grief was part of his pre-programmed personality. I actually sort of enjoyed it, because it reminded me of hanging out with H, and I really missed hanging out with H. A lot. My gaze dropped to the bathroom mirror, but I didn't much like what I saw there, so I closed my eyes until I finished urinating. I wondered, not for the first time, why I hadn't painted the mirror black, too, when I'd done the window.
The hour or so after I woke up was my least favorite part of each day because I spent it in the real world. This was when I dealt with the tedious business of cleaning and exercising my physical body. I hated this part of the day because everything about it contradicted my other life, my real life inside the oasis. The sight of my tiny one-room apartment, my immersion rig, or my reflection in the mirror, they all served as a harsh reminder that the world I spent my days in was not, in fact, the real one.